Good morning, everyone. I welcome all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are here in the presence of God to give our lives to Him again and again, right? We are so grateful that we have been called together to serve the same church, especially at this time. So, you know, God's Spirit will be with us as we gather together in the name of Jesus Christ, and then we will experience and taste the kingdom of God in this worship service. Today, Reverend Landis, you know, is preaching to us. He was, you know, in Eastern Europe for 2 months last year with his wife, and then he just finished his, you know, presentation about his mission to our church members, and he will join us, you know, soon. And I'm so glad we can have, you know, him, you know, preach, you know, for our, you know, congregation today. And we have, you know, financial situation update for you. Bill?
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Bill Pritchett, and I serve as treasurer of our church. It's been a couple of months since I provided an update on our church finances, so Reverend Yum asked me to share some updates this morning on a few important topics. Looking back to 2023, our financial situation has been very strong. Thanks to your generosity, we were able to bless others with 2 special offerings this past year. Our Thanksgiving donation to the Midland County Food Pantry was $2,632, and through Advent, we collected special donations for the Readers to Leaders program, and that offering reached a total of $12,387. What an amazing way to show how much you care for others. Your giving to the general fund of the church was also generous through the end of the year. After the financial calculations for 2023 were completed, we could see that our church ended the year with income almost $29,000 above expenses. So again, thank you for your generosity and giving, and thank you to all the work areas who showed good stewardship in controlling their spending. Now, as we look ahead to 2024, we face the challenge of funding a budget of just over $1.4 million, which was recently approved by the Strategic Leadership Council. We received 156 estimate of giving cards, and the total amount pledged is $542,000. That's approximately 93% of the total amount pledged for the previous year. However, we know from analyzing giving patterns over the last several years that we actually receive approximately 30% more money than what is pledged. So when we add that amount to our estimate of giving, we believe that giving for 2024 will be just under $700,000. Soon we will also know the amount that can be drawn from the endowment as we calculate the 5% rolling average that we pull from that fund. So preliminary calculations show that it will be around what last year's contribution was, $545,000. So I know this gets complicated, but when you add all these different sources of income, the $700,000 of giving, $500,000 roughly from the endowment, we still show that we'll be in a deficit of approximately $138,000 for 2024. Now, we do have the surplus from last year that we can draw on, and we do have reserve funds that we can use if necessary. However, to meet this budget, we'll all need to be consistent in our giving. And while we once again challenge our staff and all the work areas to control their discretionary spending wherever possible. So I will continue to give updates throughout the year so that everyone stays aware of our financial situation. And as always, we thank you for your generous support of our church.
Thank you, Bill. I think we can give a big round of, you know, applause to our God. And also, we have a special Lenten season church-wide Bible study video. So I'd like to show you a video clip.
Good morning, friends and neighbors. I am here to invite you to participate in our Lenten Bible study. We will be studying the book called A Purpose-Driven Life by Reverend Rick Warren. If you are someone who is really struggling with what it is you are supposed to be doing with your life, or someone who has had a significant change and you feel like your purpose is now different, this is a great chance for you to be able to get together with your friends, families, and neighbors to be able to discover what it is God has created you for and what your purpose is. I want to share with you a couple of words that Rick Warren has shared with us. Firstly, he tells us that living with purpose is the only way to really live. So I challenge you and ask you, what is holding you back from participating in this study and participating in God's purpose for your life?
Rob?
Hello, everyone. I'm Rob Kinnon, and I'd like to announce a little bit more on the purpose-driven that Reverend Young has been asking us to handle. He was called by the Holy Spirit to share this specific book. He's now calling on us to come together and respond together. God is wanting us to do something fresh and new in each of our lives as we come together and learn what God has for us. Through this experience, we will have every Wednesday through Lent, February 21st through March 27th, for a church-wide study on the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Each week, there will be a meal provided in the fellowship hall from 5 to 5:50. We know this is a busy time, and please feel free to arrive when you can. After dinner, there will be a short time of praise and worship, followed by a time of study at 6:40, and discussions in small groups till 8 o'clock. There will also be a study group offered at 3:30 on Wednesdays if you can't make it to this. Books for the study are available at the reception desk up front during office hours and on Sunday mornings. A $10 suggested donation to cover the cost of the book is appreciated, but not required. We would love to have you and your friends and neighbors gather to see us, and please bring them along. Child care will be provided, and if you're only available to come for the meal, that's okay. You can register for this opportunity through the e-blast at our church website or calling Natalie during church hours. My wife and I, Heidi, will be out in the reception area if you have any questions concerning this after the service here. Let's prepare our hearts and our schedules so we do not miss out on the nudge of the Holy Spirit and so we don't miss even one thing the Lord has planned for us. Thank you.
Yes, please pray for this special event. I believe God will bless us as we get together every Wednesday afternoon to worship Him, to study His Word together, okay? And also, please participate in this special event. And also, last but not least, invite your family members and your neighbors to have a fellowship together with us during this Lenten season. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. And would you please stand and let us have time to greet one another, please. Yeah. Together, let us pray. Dear God, thank you so much for your invitation today to be in your presence with our church members. Holy Spirit, fill this place with your presence. And also, God, we just give our lives to you. Accept us, Lord, and also use us. And also let us, you know, taste your wonderful kingdom life in this, you know, place. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Save from mine enemies. Friends Blessing folks to come forward.
Good morning. I need you to know we had a wonderful Sunday school lesson in class this morning. Really, I believe, growing really strong disciples for the Lord. I want to take a minute this morning before I share the blessing, and I'm going to ask you to pray for our children, the children of this church, the children in our neighborhood, and pray for our Sunday school that it is all that God needs and wants it to be. So we're just going to take a minute here and specifically pray for our children. Amen. I think that God wants and needs us to be healthy and whole, and he wants us to have fun and have joyful times. So I'm going to say, go Lions, because watching football is pretty joyful. Michigan girl here, Kansas girl here.
Go Chiefs.
2 weeks from now, we might get another chance to say that together. Wouldn't that be so fun? We were in the book of Luke in Sunday school this morning, and we spent some time thinking about how easy it is for us as people, as humans, to judge each other and to take a look at someone or to just speak to someone for a few minutes and build something up in our minds about them, judge them. And there was a time when Jesus lived that those who were ill and those who were in prison and those who experienced disabilities and those who were struggling, people thought that that was because God was punishing them for their sin. And Jesus came to help us understand that we have a God who is love. And we need our children to understand that. And I think we had a really good lesson this morning about that. And Jesus talks when he lived to lots of people who believed that people who were poor or sick or in prison were being punished. So we have a prayer this morning, and I'm going to ask you to have a response with me. I'll share a phrase about being mindful of those around us and being careful to love everyone. And I'm going to ask you to respond with this phrase. Help us to show them your love. Want to try that? Help us to show them your love. All right? Let's give that a try. Let's go to God. Lord God, you call us to show your love to everyone. Today we lift to you those people who are sick. Help us to show them your love. People who are sad and frightened, help us to show them your love. People who are in prison, help us to show them your love. People who don't have enough to eat, Lord, we lift them up to you. Help us to show them your love. People who don't look like us, help us to show them your love. People who don't agree with us, help us to show them your love. People who are unkind, who are mean to us, help us to show them your love. And help us to show these and all people your gracious love, Lord. Amen.
Let us continue in prayer.
Thank you.
Let us stand and sing this last verse. Father, we are so thankful for those who gather here today and gather in this space and worship with us afar. We ask that you continue to allow each and every person here to have faith in you and know that when they are walking through the valley and through darkness, that you are still there walking with us. Please be seated as Reverend Landis continues us in prayer.
Amen. Well, it's good to be with you, and we've seen so many friends. It's just been wonderful. We're meeting new people, and we're grateful for the ongoing ministry here and see so many good things going on. Appreciate Amy and Pastor Jung and Gabrielle and the praise band and our tech people. Thank you so much for what you're doing. Let's join our hearts now in prayer. God, we just gather in this place in your name. We thank you for the ministry that's going on here for over a century. And we are grateful for the leaders, the pastors, the people who've laid a foundation for us. And Lord, it's almost like every brick, every stone is someone's effort and someone's faith that went before us. Carry on this ministry, O God. Let this congregation be your faithful people, showing light to the world, showing love to the hurting and broken and lost, and sharing Jesus with them, and ministering to them, sharing food and clothing and shelter and comfort and healing and grace. God, we pray for every ministry here. Bless it, Lord, the children, the youth, the families, the retirees, those in a hospital, those in care facilities, those we reach around town, those we reach around the world. God, just use Midland First. Lord, as I share this story this morning about the Baltic and the suffering and struggle and challenge and the lack of faith in Eastern Europe, move us, O God, to make a difference in that part of the world. Bring your peace to Ukraine and to Israel, and bring your peace to our hearts that we might share it with others. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ. And now we pray the Lord's Prayer together as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Now we come to a time of offering. Please take out our French pass and let us know you are here today with us. And we really appreciate your continued, you know, participation in God's mission through Midland First. Please continually join us in our missions with your prayers and with your financial support. And ushers, would you please comfort?
Good on your promise. I'll take you at your word. If you said it, I'll believe it. I've seen how good it was. If you started all completed, I'll take you at your word. You spoke, and the chaos fell in line. Well, I know, 'cause I've seen it all my life. It's a narrow road that leads to life. I wanna be on it. It's a narrow road, the tide is high, and you parted the water.
As we sing the song together. Our words of affirmation coming up.
You said your love will never give up. You said your grace is always enough. You said your heart would never forsake or forsake me.
Dear God, thank you so much for all the blessings we have in our lives. We belong to you, and also we are yours. God, we give these offerings to you, as a token of our commitment to you, Lord. God, please use these offerings only for your glory and only for your kingdom. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated.
Going to read the scripture this morning, taken from Romans 10:10-15. For one believes with the heart, leading to righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, leading to salvation. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. I want to say it's a privilege and an honor to be here today, and I appreciate the mission passion of this church, and I appreciate the opportunity to still connect with you and to have fellowship, and appreciate the ministry of your pastor and staff and all of you that are doing so many good things. Keep up the good work. We went back to Lithuania, Estonia, and Latvia again this year in the fall, September and October. We were there in 2022 October and November. In this first picture, you see the people of Lithuania in the town of Klaipėda looked out their windows in 1939, and they saw Adolf Hitler and his leaders marching into the town, claiming that town and the region as their own before the war had even started, and Europe had conceded that he had a right to do this. Some historians say the war may not have started if they would have resisted this intrusion. We were probably on that street. But when those soldiers came into town and marched with their goose steps, their feet were not beautiful feet. Their feet would bring destruction and death to the people. And Ezekiel said in chapter 26, your enemies will plunder your wealth and loot your merchandise. They will break down your walls and demolish your fine homes. Well, after the Nazis controlled Lithuania after the war, Russia came in, and they also dominated and persecuted the people, especially Jews and especially Christians. Millions were sent to Siberia. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands were killed. Churches were closed. Pastors were persecuted and put to death. Carolyn and I went to this part of the world. We pray for this part of the world because God has laid a burden on us for them. And we must have a burden for the whole world, but in addition to many other places, God has put this in our hearts. And right now, in the shadow of the Ukrainian war, the people also have some of the same anxiety that they had in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and up into the early 90s. The U.S. has estimated that 500,000 people have died in Ukraine. And they think that's low because the countries give low estimates. But the feet of the German soldiers, then the Russian soldiers, were not beautiful at all. But after 50 years, in the early 90s, our church, the General Board of Global Ministries Mission Arm, heard that there were some Methodists in Lithuania. They went back, and they opened 11 churches that had been closed. I don't know about you, but in our state, when somebody closes a church, boom, that's it. It's over. Not there. There was a resurrection. And the scripture says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation. It was our desire to be beautiful feet as we went to the cities in Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia. We arrived in Kaunas, the second largest city, about 400,000 people. Our first service was held in Pilviske on September 10th, and it was a glad reunion because there with us was Jeannie and Dennis Reimer. The first person that introduced me to the Baltic in Michigan was Bill Quick. Now Jeannie Reimer is giving us opportunities and invitations and challenges to do things. And she's just a wonderful woman from Wisconsin. And her church and others built that Pilviske church 20 years ago or more. One of the most powerful experiences for me this past year was that I was invited to address the annual conference. Now, our annual conference has like 1,000 people or more. They had 40 people or more. But it was a great joy to be able to speak to the pastors and the lay leaders. And the topic they asked me to speak on was, tell us all that you've learned in ministry and what works. Well, you know, you try a lot of things and you make mistakes. But they were hungry and they just soaked it up. And I challenged them with vision. I challenged them with being invitational. And I challenged them with mission. And I challenged them with prayer. I said, you know, we also need prayer for healing. And I said, you need to do this in your churches. And the next morning, this was Saturday, the next morning, Sunday morning, Bishop Alstead said, we are going to have that prayer that JD talked about. And we lined up, had three lines, people came through for prayer. And it was so beautiful. You can see Carolyn there ministering. And Carolyn is just so much a part of this ministry and loving on the people. After we had the prayer, two pastors and a layperson came up to me and said, now we are going to pray for you. And I don't know if this is this one man, Petrus, if this is how he prays, but he said, Lord, bless his mind so that he might be able to have good thoughts. Lord, bless his mouth that he might speak. And Lord, bless his hands that he might reach others. Lord, bless his feet. And then he prayed for my back too, and he's praying for all these things, you know. And I was just weeping. It was just so beautiful. The greatest struggle they face over there is only one ordained pastor, and churches are declining and closing because of lack of pastors. And so that's our greatest burden. And they sent us so that we could help the church thrive in Pilviske. I want to thank you for your prayers and your interest in this ministry. And I want to say this, at that conference, I wanted to keep going because I felt like we were having revival. It was just wonderful. After the conference, we had ministry in the town where we served. Last year, we had maybe attendance was 14, 15 people. This year, it was 18, 20, 22, 23. And that's a big growth for them. And this was really wonderful. I don't know if I shared this last year. I shared it in the first service. But when I was preaching one day, after the service, the lady said, do you know who gave us that stained glass window? And I said, no. And she said, Dr. Bill Quick. I said, you're kidding. He's the one who called me to come to Michigan. He was my mentor. He told me about the Baltic. And I'm preaching under his stained glass window. I knew that God wanted us there in a very special way. Well, one day, we arrived, as I sought to, early service, every Bible study. And we got there at quarter of, and we're waiting, and we're saying, like, Laba Diena and a few other things. We can't really talk, you know. I need to learn Lithuanian, but it is tough. Oh, my goodness. Reverend Yum, I studied Hebrew, Greek, German. Lithuanian's harder than all of them put together. Let me tell you what. Anyways. So no translator. I called the office. I said, Where's our translator? She found out she went to the Catholic Church. Oh, my goodness. So I'm watching. I'm looking out of the window, hoping for this translator. Two guys pull up, get out of the car, an African man and another gentleman. I went out. I said, hey, it's great to have you. And I said, where are you from? And he said, I'm from Ghana. I'm a Native Methodist from Ghana, and I married a Lithuanian woman, and I was looking for a church, and we found that you had a study here. I said, oh, my goodness. And his wife's son was there, Pavlos. And I said, Pavlos, you know English and Lithuanian? Yes. So he translates for us for the first 15 minutes. And then after the service was over, program was over, we had Pavlos translate with this lady that we visited, Emilia. Now, you see a picture there of some of the people. There's the sanctuary that we're in. That's my translator, Darius. And we're still in contact with him. I don't know where Darius's faith is at, but he's preached about 15 of my sermons and about 15 of my Bible studies. And so we've grown to love him. He's from the Catholic Church, and we're still in touch with him. Then after that Bible study that day that Jeffrey came to, we went to see this lady, Emilia, 95 years old, hardly gets out, and Pavlos was our translator. Emilia told us her story. When she was 10, 12 years old, the German regime came into Pilviske, and they began yanking Jewish people out of their homes, beating them, looting the homes. She watched over a period of days as they brutally tortured and destroyed everything. And one day, they had the Jewish people dig pits, and they said, we're digging up peat. We're going to use for farming. And then they had them take their clothes off, and they shot them, and they buried them in the very pit that they dug, men, women, and children. Amelia's memory was so vivid. She was part of a documentary which has been shown even here in the United States. Suffering is going on. One lady said to us, history is not history for us. Could you imagine if we lived here and Canada had once destroyed us and dominated us for 50 years, and now Canada was fighting another country, we would be in great concern and anxiety over that. And they are also. And so it's with them. History is not history, but it's with them every day. We saw this flag that you see, the Israeli flag, was flying in the capital, Vilnius. There is some collective guilt in Lithuania because some of the Lithuanians joined in with the Germans and the Russians to destroy people. There's the memorial. We also found out this year that Pilviske was the line, the battle line that was drawn. So we were ministering a place of much suffering. This is why we feel called and we want to make a difference. And friends, the number of people, there was some revival went on in the countries in the 90s, but they have become complacent now, and only 3-4% of people go to church or have a faith in Jesus Christ. So it's an unreached part of the world, and the gospel needs to be proclaimed. And how can they call on the one they have not believed in, and how can they believe in the one who have not heard, and how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can someone preach unless they are sent? Well, we represent you there, and I want to thank you for your gifts, and I hope your continued gifts in partnership with us for them and Ukrainian refugees. I want to say to you that when we travel there, we feel like we are very welcomed as Americans, and we feel like we want to let our light shine. And people will ask us, why are you here? And then we tell them. And then we start talking about God. And we give them a cross. And they're very open. Carolyn shared with her hairdresser. I was on a plane with a guy, and his name was Rooks Natas, I believe. And I'm on Facebook with him now. But anyways, we're talking about he played basketball, and he hurt his leg and everything. And so after we talked for a while, I'm working on my computer, and he's leaning over, looking at my computer. And he said, what are you working on? I said, I'm working on a message on vision for a seminary. He said, oh. So I started talking about vision. Everybody needs a dream, a vision, a purpose for your life. And he's getting into it. And I talk about the greatest purpose. This is God's purpose in Jesus Christ. And he just nodded his head, and I said, Roxanas, are you a Christian? He said, I am. I think he drifted a little. But anyways, he texted his mom, and he said, I'm talking to this guy on the train, you know, and all this. And so God can give you opportunities wherever you are, here in Midland, to impact somebody. Well, after a number of days of ministry in Pilviskiai, we traveled to Latvia, and there we met with 9 refugee families in this town near Liepāja. The year before, we met with only 2. This year was 9 families, and they told us their stories, and the children were with them, and we had food together, and we gave them gifts. The Flushing United Methodist Church, where Ruth Anderson is serving, felt moved to knit hats and gloves and scarves and socks, and we took all these things over, laid them on the table, and they were just thrilled to receive this. I'm still in touch with one lady, Natalie Galay, who's a Ukrainian refugee. But they have so many needs. We also went to the Hope Center in Latvia. And there they minister, the United Methodist Church ministers to young women who have a disability. They don't have much income. They provide food, clothing, education, job training. They teach them the Bible. And it's just really a tremendous ministry. In the middle of our trip, how many know that life doesn't always go as you want it to? Do you know we sing a song, Victory in Jesus? Well, guess what? There's no victory unless something goes wrong. Well, Carolyn got COVID, and she got quite sick, but I kept testing. I'm fine. So off to Estonia I go. For a few days. The countries are very close. It's easy to travel. While I was there, I visited with Urmas Rahuvarm. The lady from Estonia, Amy, told me it's not Urmas, it's Urmas. I told him, I said, Urmas, you never told me all these years that you pronounce it Urmas. He says, oh, John, it doesn't matter. Anyways, you supported this church. And he cooked a big Norwegian salmon for us. And that's Rauno to his left. That's the new pastor. Ormas is retired. But he and I Skype, and it's just a wonderful fellowship we have with them. While I was in Tallinn, I visited the Lighthouse Ministry, another ministry, the kids at risk who'd be on the street doing drugs and alcohol if it weren't for this center. They ministered to 28 kids. Recreation, food, schooling, instruction, Bible study. Veronica there, she's just a tremendous leader, and we gave gifts to them. Well, after I was in Lithuania or Estonia, I come back to Lithuania, and I'm coming back on a bus, and I'm thinking, I'm so tired. I could just lay down on the bus floor and fall asleep. I thought, uh-oh, maybe I have COVID, and I did. So we had to quarantine for a number of days, but our hearts were cheered because Natalie and Tyler, I tell you quickly, I preached at the seminary too, and a tremendous work that's going on there in the seminary. 23 new students, I'm on the board, and we really need to pray, and I hope you can continue to give gifts there. But Natalie and Tyler came then to see us from Kyrgyzstan. Most people never heard of it. And they're sharing the gospel there, doing house church ministry. And after the Bible study, where I allowed Tyler to share his story and Natalie too, they started speaking to the people in Russian. Tyler knows 7,500 words, which is getting close to fluent. or maybe he knows 500, working on 7,500. Anyways, he was able to talk with them, and they just loved it. And this lady here in the scarf, she just took a tremendous liking to them, and just it was really neat. One of the things that I also did in Pilviskay, do you remember when we started, are we still getting Panera Bread here? When we started getting it, the first time I went, am I running out of time, aren't we, John? Are we okay? We'll be done soon. We started getting Panera Bread here, and they overbaked. And we had like hundreds of loaves of bread and pastries and bagels and all this stuff. Saturday night, I'm like, what am I going to do with this Sunday morning? I'm preaching on the loaves and bread, and I thought I'd maybe get 15, 20 loaves, and I had like 150. So I gave them out to you and said, go give this to someone in need. Well, I did this in Pilviskay, and I got 44 loaves, and bread over there is cheap, really nice bread. That's the only thing that's cheap. For like 89 cents. And I gave everybody a loaf, and I said, I want you to go, and I want you to share a loaf of bread with a neighbor and invite them to church or reach out to them and show love to them. They're very shy about reaching out and giving invitation. But they dutifully went and performed that task, came back. One lady said, no church has ever given me anything. I'm going to be interested in that church. Another lady, the one in the mauve scarf, started to come. And she said, I'm so excited. She said, I know everybody in this town. I'm going to invite them all to come and worship. When we left one day, she was waving goodbye to us, and we had given out crosses. She's holding this cross up to heaven and rejoicing in the Lord. And you know, you get one person like that from one loaf of bread. And I hope she's still connecting with them. And I have a feeling that she is. Well, another thing that happened, I'm going to close with this. We had met this young woman. You can see her there, the very dark-haired lady, Nora Sasor. And she was from Israel. And she's a med student, very sharp med student, top of her class. And we were really getting to know her. And she said, J.D. and Carolyn, she said, I'm part Jewish and I'm part Muslim. Now, this will blow all maybe your preconceived notions. My dad was Muslim, my mother was Jew. They both have died. But when I go to the Jewish market, they won't sell me food because I'm part Muslim. And she said, I'm in class with Muslim students that support Hamas, and I fear for my life. Caught between the two. So we said, we got to reach out to her. Nora, you want to come to church with us? I don't know about you. It's hard to get people to come to church, especially with Jewish and Muslim background. She said, sure, I'll go. We drive for an hour. We're having fellowship. She got to that church. She's obviously not Lithuanian. And those ladies just hugged on her, loved her, like she was one of the lost sheep. And Nora is beaming. And we lit candles on All Saints Day for her parents who had died. And Carolyn said to Nora, Nora, see, Jesus loves you. And she said, she didn't say Jesus, but she says, I know God loves me. And we're still in touch with her. And I hope if she comes to the U.S., we'll have come up and see you all. But that was a powerful ministry. So I hope you will pray for this part of the world. We're to go into all the world, proclaim the gospel. America's got the gospel on every street. But over there, hardly anyone knows. So we need to tell them about Jesus. We need to give them the hope of the resurrection. I'm claiming Christ over the city, Christ over the nation. That church you see there, was it St. Joseph? Anyways, Church of the Resurrection, good name. That platform there you see is about 60, 70 feet high, and then the tower is another 40 foot with a cross. They built this as a symbol of peace over the city. And I'm claiming Christ's peace, and I'm claiming Christ's message over Kaunas and over Lithuania. Amen.
Thank you, JD, for sharing your message and your news of what's going on in the Baltic. What an opportunity to be able to leave your comfort zone and to be able to go and spread the word and tell people about God and Jesus. It really is a humbling experience. We are going to close today's service with a song called More Like You. This is our theme song for this series, so I invite you to stand as we sing together.
Amen. What a beautiful song. Let's close in a benediction and prayer. Lord, we do want to be more like you. God, you know we often fall short and we get frustrated and we say things and do things we shouldn't do. We think things. But you are molding us. You're shaping us. Lord, help us to love our neighbor here in Midland, in Michigan, and our neighbors around the world. Jesus said, go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the world. And so show us how we can make a difference, God. We know that one candle burning can push back the darkness. We know, Lord, that one connection with an individual who decides to follow you can change the world. So bless this church, Lord. Bless its ministry, its people, and make it strong. Keep its eyes on you. Help it to have love for all people. And to follow your word, we pray in Jesus' name.